Now, I don't have a pet. I'm not allowed to have a pet until I retire, you see. That's the problem. You may have thought this was a pet, but it isn't. It's just a microphone. So when I was told of the pet service, I wondered what animal I might bring. So I went out in the fields and I saw 10 sheep. There were 7 adult sheep and 3 lambs. So I thought I might bring one of them. So I went over and I had a chat with them. I do this quite regularly. It's a strange sort of thing that old people do. You go and lean over the fence and you talk to the sheep. You see, as soon as I go and lean over the fence and start talking to them, they all come running up to me. I chat to them for a little bit, but they quickly lose interest because I haven't got any food to give them. But when Henry, who's the owner of the sheep, comes, not only do they rush up to him, but they stay there and they listen to what he has to say because he gives them food to eat. Anyway, I asked Henry whether I could bring one of the lambs. This was back in April. And they were ever so sweet, they were this sort of size. But when I came to look at them just the day before yesterday, they had grown. They'd grown an awful lot. That'd be quite a handful to bring a sheep here now, wouldn't it? And do you know what? If you've got to take a sheep around on the road, what do you have to do? You have to get a certificate. A certificate of transit from the Ministry of Agriculture, Fishery and Foods, or whoever it may be, something of that kind. And then I thought, even then, if I'd done that, well, what would I do? What's I got here? I'd have to have a safe place to put it. What do you call a place where you put sheep? A pen or a fold, a sheep fold, one of those, yes. And my experience with sheep in the past is they don't stay in the place we want them to stay. They tend to get out and wander off down the road, and then you're very unpopular with the neighbours. Well, in the time of Jesus, each village used to have its own special sheepfold. It was one for everybody in the village, or at least one for all the sheep that belonged to everybody in the village. And it was a stone circle with a little gap in the front and a gate that would open, and so the sheep could be put inside, so they would stay there and they couldn't get out. Everybody in the village would put their sheep there overnight, and they'd be safe from wolves and bears and even lions that they would have in that part of the country at that time. And there'd be a watchman, a guard, on guard every night to look after the sheep, so all the shepherds could go home and have a quiet zoo. If they didn't put their sheep in the fold there and bring them back from the hills, they'd have a little sheep pen up on the hills. Again, it'd be a stone wall with a gap in front, but then the shepherd would have to stay with them overnight, and he'd sleep in the doorway. Every morning, each of the shepherds would come to the sheep pen and collect his sheep and take them out onto the hills to graze. And every evening, he'd bring them back in again and leave them with the guard. Now, have you ever thought, what happens when the shepherd wants to get his sheep out of the sheepfold, the sheep pen? But he doesn't want to take other people's sheep. He doesn't have a sheepdog. So how is he going to get his out when they're all mixed up, all these sheep together? What do you think? Any ideas? Grab them. Branding them. Well, that wouldn't help. I mean, you'd have to go around and catch them. You ever tried catching sheep? I know this because Henry tried to catch them the other day in order to do a little bit of shearing, and he was chasing all over the field trying to wrestle with them and get them. Rather tricky. Well, actually, it was very simple. Because each shepherd knew each one of his sheep, and he gave them a name, just like the name you give your dog. And he would call his sheep by name and say, should have done that. Follow me. And each of the individual sheep that was part of his flock would know him, and they'd come to the gate and they'd follow him out to where he wanted them to go. Now, other people might want to come and take the sheep. It's possible that another shepherd might think, I'll take some of his sheep. Or there might be thieves. Sheep stealers who try and get in over the walls at night and steal the sheep. But the sheep would know their own shepherd's voice, and they'd only follow their own shepherd. Any stranger who came, they'd pay no attention to at all. And you know, Jesus says he's a bit like a shepherd in the way that he treats us, who are like his sheep. And we need to listen to what he has to say. He knows each one of us, through and through. He knows your name, and he calls us to follow him. And he knows everything there is to know about you. He knows what you like, he knows what you dislike, he knows the things you're good at, the things you're not very good at. He knows the things that make you happy, he knows the things that make you sad. He knows all the difficult things you have in life. But the one thing he calls us to do is to follow him and listen to his voice. And not to lots of voices from strangers and others who may be telling us to do things that are wrong. So you might have friends at school, or even school teachers who tell you that it's a dumb thing to follow Jesus. Take no notice. You know, all those advertisements you see on the television that say things will be wonderful if you buy this product. Don't listen to them. You may find that there are politicians who promise all sorts of things. They don't keep their promises. Most of the time they can't keep them. And then you'll even find some church leaders who tell you that things aren't wrong, that God says are wrong. Don't listen to them either. Listen to what Jesus says. And how do we know what it is that Jesus says? There's only one place to find out, isn't there? It's in here, isn't it? Please, don't listen to me if I'm not saying what Jesus says. You can check it out. Make sure it's in here. Listen to his voice and nobody else's. People used to have car stickers. Jonathan's registration plate on the back now has a bit of a crack in it, he was telling me. It's a bit dubious. But people used to have stickers on the back which used to say, "Don't follow me, follow Jesus." But it's a good thought, isn't it? Don't follow me, follow Jesus. I heard a story about a man who went to Palestine. And he'd heard that shepherds do exactly what Jesus described. That they call their sheep by name, and the sheep follow them out to the pasture. So, one day when he got up, and he looked out of his window, the place where he was staying, he looked out on the hill, and he was very surprised, because do you know what he saw? He saw a man running about, chasing after sheep, shouting and screaming, and trying to get them to go where he wanted them to go. And they were going in all directions, scattered all over the place. No question of him calling them nicely and then following along, just as your dog always does when you call him. He was very disappointed. So he went and found his Palestinian guide. He said, "I'm very disappointed to discover that what I heard about shepherds in Israel and Palestine isn't true at all." "Oh, it's true, all right," said the Palestinian guide. "You see, that wasn't the shepherd, that was the butcher." Well, what makes a good shepherd? What would you think? What makes a good shepherd? You got any ideas? What's a good shepherd do? He cares for his flock, absolutely. And what does that involve? He makes sure they have food and water, takes them to places where they can eat good grass, drink good water, that sort of thing. He leads them. What happens if they get lost? What does he do? He searches for them. He finds them, doesn't he? And if they're ill, what does he do? He either looks after them himself, or he gets a vet like Morrison to sort them out. Absolutely. And he protects them. Now, some of you remember that King David in the Old Testament, he was a shepherd first. What animals did David have to fight with his sling and stone? Anybody remember? Yes, bears and lions. Very good, bears and lions. He had to fight them off and kill them. So you see, the good shepherd would be prepared to put his life on the line for a sheep, to risk his life for them. But Jesus says something a bit more special. Not that just that he's prepared to risk his life for his sheep, people like you and me, but he actually gave up his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd, he says, who lays down his life for the sheep. Some of your pay, he says, to do the job, is not so likely to look after the sheep well, but the owner who knows the sheep and loves them will do all that he can. He won't run away if a wolf comes, a lion comes, or a bear comes. And what Jesus says is that he'll never leave us. If we're his people, we follow him, he'll never leave us alone. He'll protect us. Now that doesn't mean that nothing unpleasant is ever going to happen to you. Because life is full of unpleasant things, evil things that happen because of the way the world is. But we're safe in our relationship to Jesus. He's our shepherd. He'll take us through all the hard things, all the painful things, all the things that we find difficult and upsetting, all the disappointments. He'll even take us through death to be with him. He promises to be with us in good times and bad times. And he says, will you trust me for that? And how do we know that's true? Well, we know it's true because of the greatest thing that he ever did for us. And that is he died for us. He laid down his life for us. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. When Jesus came, he didn't do anything wrong, did he? But what did they do? They killed him. They executed him as if he was the worst criminal in the world. Why? Because that was part of God's plan. Part of God's plan. That Jesus should take responsibility for everything that we've done that's been wrong. Because we ignore him, we don't treat him as our shepherd. Often we don't listen to his voice, we listen to the wrong voices. And we shouldn't listen to those voices, we should be listening to what Jesus says and doing what he says. And so if we don't follow him as we should, we open ourselves to all these forces that might damage us and do us harm. But Jesus takes all the responsibility and we can be his because he died for us. Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he says, there are plenty of others, not in this sheepfold where he was then, in Palestine, but all over the world. And what he meant was that anybody at all, wherever they come from, whoever they are, can be his follower. He knows each of us by name, and he calls each of us to be one of his sheep, one of his people. And what he said was, I've come that they might have life to the full, really good life, as it ought to be, both here and in eternity. So let's just pray, shall we? We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the good shepherd, that you die for us, that you live, and that we can live in you, trusting you and knowing that you'll be with us in all things if we listen to your voice and follow you. So help us to be exactly that for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.